Well, good morning, everyone. This is John Alls, and I want to welcome you back on behalf of Independence Baptist Church. Last week, Pastor Reynolds started a message titled, Every Good Gift, and his text was in James chapter 1, verse 17. Now, Pastor Reynolds pointed out last week about some of the burdens and trials that he personally had went through and how that God had used those things to help him grow in the Lord, but also how to learn to appreciate all of the good things that God has done for him. So let's join in as Pastor Reynolds continues on this message about every good gift.
God puts us through things, but He is the one that gives the good gift. But keep in mind this. He says there in verse 2 of James chapter 1, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, when these troubles and tribulations, when the questioning comes upon you in your mind, then be glad because God is doing something in your life. God is doing something. And He has an end in mind which is much, much better than you could ever imagine it being. Ephesians 3 verse 20, Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. God can do more than we ever thought He could do. And listen, I hope you're not taking this as some kind of psychological mumbo-jumbo. Because I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about the real Christian life of you giving up yourself and dedicating yourself to God and doing what God wants you to do. And when you do that, you're going to go through some troubles and trials. I'm talking about that you have dedicated yourself to God. You want to do what God tells you to do. And you're involved in that. You desire that with all of your heart, with all your soul. And God has put that on you. It's not something you're dreaming up yourself. But God is burdening you to do what's right. And when you submit to that, what God has for you on the other side is greater than you could ever imagine that it would be. There's more peace, there's more tranquility, there's more blessings in doing the things that God wants you to do, but you've got to go through some troubles and trials first. And don't let your weaknesses, or don't shy away from doing the thing that God wants you to do, because you're always going to regret it. The disciples, the apostles in the days of Jesus Christ went through much tribulation and trials. And Peter finally asked, Lord, what do we have? I mean, we've given up all this stuff. We've left houses and lands. I've left my business, my fishing business. I've left all that. What do I have? And Jesus said, here's what you've got. In the kingdom, I'm going to set you on 12 thrones. You're going to be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. But what you're going to have right now, you're going to have 100 times more than you ever left behind. God will do that. And we're not talking about prosperity. We're talking about enjoying what God's given to us. Look here in James chapter 1, in verse 9 and verse 10. And what he's saying here about all this is just understanding that the ways of God, the gift of God, is greater than anything else. Look what he says in verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low. What? There's two extremes. And he says this is what both of them have to learn. Because, see the word because? Both the lowly and both those that are highly esteemed have to learn the same lesson. Here's the lesson. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. Did you know that the lowly must understand that they're going to pass away? Did you know that the rich have to understand they're going to pass away? We're all in the same boat. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, the flower thereof falleth, the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. You see? Sometimes we get the idea, looking at it from this earthly viewpoint, that the rich are better than the poor. It's not so. And the man that is poor, the man that is of low degree, understands he has nothing to give. But God can hear his prayer. But the person that is rich, he says, I've got a lot to give. No, you don't. God gave you everything you got anyway. You're a nobody just like the low guy is. And both of them have to learn that God is the one they're looking to, regardless of your physical circumstance. That's what he's saying. You see, every good gift. You see what he's saying, verse 17? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. And the person of low degree can rejoice because he's able to take hold of that perfect gift that is from above. But the one that is rich can also rejoice because he's also able to get hold of that perfect gift that is from above. There it is. God works in all of our troubles and trials and tribulations to make us a blessing. And what a blessing and a thrill it is. The end is much better than we could ever imagine or ever even think about. Once you think about this example, the man Joseph, in the book of Genesis chapter 39, Joseph was a young boy, beloved of his dad and hated of his brothers. They sold him into bondage. And in Genesis chapter 39, the Bible states that Joseph was sold to Potiphar. He went through hard times. I'll tell you what, the Lord is with Joseph. Understand the application we're trying to make here. He says in James chapter 1, verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." And then in verse 17 of James chapter 1, he says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is from above. And there's no variableness nor shadow of turning there. When Joseph was put in that pit, where's the good? Are you going through a trouble, a trial right now? Well, where's the good? Can you see it? Things get kind of black. I'm telling you, it gets black. It gets dark. Joseph was sold into slavery. Look at what it says in verse 3. In Genesis 39, verse 3. Well, in verse 2, the Bible states, and the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3. And his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Not only did Joseph know that the Lord was with him, but Potiphar knew it as well. That guy is special. You think it was easy? What do you think about the heartache that Joseph felt being separated from his family, being sold by his brothers into slavery? It's not easy. How would you feel when Potiphar's wife said, "Come lie with me," and Joseph said, "I cannot do this thing," and left in such a hurry that he left his coat with the woman. And then she took the coat and lied about him and said, "This man came in to lie with me." And Potiphar believed the wife instead of Joseph, and put Joseph in prison. Where's the good in that? Well, the Lord must have forsaken Joseph. Listen, just because outward circumstances look as if the Lord has forsaken you doesn't mean He has. Have you ever tried to pray and couldn't? Have you ever tried to pray and couldn't get through? I see a bunch of heads going, "Yeah." Does that mean you didn't get through? Does it mean that God did not hear your prayer? When you tried to pray and you couldn't, does that mean that God didn't hear you? I see no response at all. Let me ask you this question. Does God hear what goes on this world? Yes. Does God hear when people curse His name? Sure He does. Do they know it? No. Do they feel like God is answering? No. They don't even care. God hears your prayers, whether you think He's hearing it or not. I realized this very emphatically once when I was very, very sick and praying to get well, and I wasn't getting well, and I thought, "God's not hearing my prayer." But God does. He does hear. God heard his prayer. God heard the prayer of this man, Joseph. You know the story of the butler and the baker. And you know the story about how that Joseph was finally taken out of prison because Pharaoh dreamed a dream. Let me ask you a question. When Joseph was made the second in command in Egypt, was God with him? Yes, He was. Was God with Joseph when Joseph was in prison because of Potiphar's lying wife? Yes. Was God with Joseph when his brothers hated him and sold him into slavery? Yes. But it sure is easier to see God with us when things are going our way. That's what the message is about. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. I don't know what God has on His mind. Do you think that Joseph understood what God had on His mind when his brothers put him in that dry hole and sold him? Do you think that Joseph was down there in that dry pit, out there in that desert, and he was saying, "Hey, brothers, you can't hurt me. I know that I'm going to be the second in command over there in Egypt. I know that. I'm not worried about it." You think that's what he said? I don't either way think he said, "Hey, let me out of here. What are you doing to me?" You think he didn't have a little anxiety about it? Hey, he's a human. And guess what we are? That's what we are. We don't see long distance. We don't see with God's viewpoint. You think that Joseph had a good time down there in the prison? He said, "Oh, hey guys, all the other prisoners, I'm not worried about being down here. After all, I'm going to be second in command in just a few days." You think he said that to anybody? I don't think so either. But what did he do? When Joseph was in prison, what did he do? Man, he did the best he could do. He served God. God was with him in Potiphar's house. It was known that God was with Joseph when Joseph was in prison. That's why the butler and the baker said, "Can you interpret our dream?" I mean, they knew that. And Joseph took... He was such a good prisoner that even the guards didn't even know what was going on. Joseph took care of all of it. What am I saying? I'm saying that when you go through those troubles and trials, do what God tells you to do, because He's got something in mind. I don't know what it is, but He's got some things in mind that's better than you could ever think, you could ever believe. It's better. Look in Genesis chapter 50. I believe there was a time when Joseph began to understand why his brothers sold him into Egypt. And this is not the first time that he stayed. This is the second time that Joseph stayed this. But his brothers never did get it. They were so laden with guilt that they didn't get it. Genesis chapter 50. His brothers were afraid that after Jacob died, their dad died, that Joseph would then attack his brothers and kill them, because they were the ones that sold him into Egypt and put him through all that misery. But look here what Joseph said. I'm talking about that great gift that God gives. In verse 18, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. Don't kill us. Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Now notice what Joseph said here in verse 20, and this is the way it is. "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Who would have thought? Who would have thought when Joseph was 17 years old and his brothers sold him into slavery, put him in that pit, that the guy they were selling was going to redeem them and give the whole nation of Israel life? Those boys, those men, Joseph's brothers, they hated Joseph and put him in that pit and sold him. Joseph had no children, but those people did. You read and get that genealogy right, you'll see they had children. And the one they put in that pit would not only save their lives, save their sons' lives, also would save their grandchildren's lives. Because there was 70 souls that went down into Egypt. God meant it unto good. Of course, when they came out, there's a couple million of them, 600,000, just men. So God meant it unto good. You see, there it is. If we just obey the Lord. See, the end of it all is better than we could ever imagine.
Well, our time for today is up, but we do want to invite you to attend services with us today. You can find our building at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. Our Sunday morning services will be starting at 10 a.m. and Sunday afternoon services will be starting at 4 p.m. We do want to thank you again for listening, and be sure to tune in again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for the continuation of this message about every good gift.